Thanks, Lydia. Good morning. My name's Mark. I mainly work with children and young people and families here at Holy Trinity, which means I'm often helping with Lighthouse on a Sunday morning with a team of fantastic volunteers. So it's been a great joy for me to be with you all for 3 weeks in a row in here. So thank you very much for having me. And I think it's only fair now that James and Andy and Paul each take a 3 week stint at Lighthouse over coming weeks and months. So we're looking forward to that. Let's keep Philippians chapter 3 open. It's on page 118 in the church Bibles. Philippians chapter 3, page 1180. 1180. And let's pray as we begin. Father, thank you so much for this time together now in your word. And please, by your spirit, help us to see Jesus and to get to know him more. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to begin with a question this morning to chat to and about with the person or people sitting around you. Here's the question. Can you think of a time that you persevered to achieve a goal? What was it? And what did pressing on to achieve your goal involve? That's actually three questions, isn't it? Snuck in. Have a little chat to the people around you about those questions. Twenty more seconds. Okay, sorry to break back into your conversations. Would anyone like to share anything? Anyone want to tell us about a goal that they persevered on towards? Don't have to. Lowry. Ah, Lowry. Your maths exam on Friday. Did you get there? Fantastic. What did pressing on involve, Lowry? What did you have to do to get ready? Well done, Lowry. Good lass. So pressing on towards an exam. Anyone else? Ian? Brilliant. Go on. Fantastic. Ian's Christianity, finding Christ, pressing on. Thanks for sharing that, Ian. Brilliant. One more? It's hard to beat that, isn't it? Alan? Brilliant. Brilliant. Thank you, Alan. You got the moving house, all the stuff that that involves, finding out where you're going to live, looking at houses, all of that. So pressing on, thank you, Alan, to achieve a goal. 2 weeks ago, I talked about a hiking trip that I went on. Here I am, crossing a bridge. My goal was to reach the summit and to make it down again. It's important, that last bit. Last week I talked about the treetop challenge in the Lake District. My goal was to press on and to make it to the end. And we've heard about some other goals that people have had here. Well, in Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul talks about his persevering to achieve his goal. Have a look at verse 12. Not that I have already obtained all this, Paul says, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. So Paul is pressing on to arrive at his goal, and note how Paul's goal is not just his goal. It's also Jesus' goal for Paul. Paul says, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. And then verse 14, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. So Paul's saying, look, I'm persevering, I'm pressing on, I'm keeping on going to achieve a goal. But what is this goal? Well, have a look at the first five words of verse 10. I want to know Christ. That is Paul's goal. This is his ambition. It's the big aim for his life. He says, I want to know Christ. Now, of course, Paul already knew Jesus, didn't he? And he met the risen Jesus on the road to Damascus. And you can read about that in Acts chapter 9. So Paul already knew Jesus. But here's the thing. He wants to know Jesus more. He wants to know Jesus better, more deeply. And this is the goal for the whole of his life. To press on in knowing Jesus. And this isn't just a goal that's to be limited to Paul. Later on in verse 17 of Philippians chapter 3, Paul says this, join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. Paul wants others to follow in his footsteps and to share the same goal. Our topic for this kind of short three-week series has been All Things New. And 2 weeks ago, we thought about the new creation. So that new place, that new people, presence and peace that we have to look forward to. Wonderful future to look forward to. Last week, we thought about the new identity. So the new self, securing Christ, past, present and future. And we thought about how looking up to who we are in Christ helps us to move forward, killing off the old self and clothing ourselves in the new. Well, we're going to finish this little three-week series today by thinking about a new goal, a new aim in life to press on and persevere in. And the goal is this, to press on in knowing Jesus. And there are three things from these verses that pressing on in knowing Jesus involves. And here's the first thing, forgetting the past. Forgetting the past. Have a look at verse 13. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and striving to what is ahead, I press on towards the goal. Paul forgets what is behind. And Paul's been talking about his past in Philippians chapter 3, in the passage that Joe read to us earlier. And what he's been saying is this. He's been saying, look, if ever there was anyone who could put confidence in themselves and what they do to earn salvation with God, Paul's been saying he was in pole position, like the Max Verstappen of Formula One, for those of us here who like Formula One. You know, Paul was right at the top of the leaderboard. In verses 4 to 6, he said, look, I'm of the people of Israel. It's a great start. The tribe of Benjamin. That's a really good tribe to be part of. A Hebrew of Hebrews. He's been saying that before he became a Christian, he was a Pharisee, a religious leader, so not just any old Israelite, he's a leader. He even persecuted the church, verse 6, because before he was converted, he thought that would impress God. That's how zealous and how enthusiastic he was. And as for righteousness based on the law, he says, faultless. So Paul's saying, look, if anyone could ever earn salvation by putting confidence in themselves and what they do, well, Paul's saying, look, that was me. I gave it my best shot. But now Paul's saying, forget all of that. I've put all that past behind me, all that trying to earn salvation by what I do. Have a look at verse 7. Whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. The Cranstons have very kindly lent me their Russian dolls, which I borrow quite a lot, as it turns out, for talk illustrations. So if anyone wants to get me something for Christmas, I'm going to be inundated now with Russian dolls, aren't I? They're going to be coming out of my ears. Here we have some Russian dolls, and we thought last week about how when we become a Christian, we are united with Jesus. Well, another way of thinking about this is to say that we are in Jesus, a bit like the doll inside the other doll here. So Paul begins his letter to the Philippians, chapter 1, verse 1, by saying, to all God's holy people in Christ, Jesus, at Philippi. So it's a bit like we're given a second address when we become a Christian. You've still got your first address here on earth, Oswestry, Gabowen, Trefonen, Ellesmere, or wherever. But you're given a second address. You're in Christ. Your life is hidden in him, in heaven. And that means that when God looks at you, he sees Jesus and his perfect righteousness. Jesus is fully God and fully human. And in the Gospels, we see Jesus living that perfect life of righteousness. Every step along the way, he is perfectly obedient to his Father. Well, that is who God sees when he looks at me and you. Through faith in Jesus, we are clothed in Jesus' perfect righteousness, his perfect record. And as verse 9 puts it, this is not a righteousness of our own, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. See, when we trust in Jesus, not only does he take away our sin, and he bears it on the cross, we'll be remembering this as we come to the Lord's table later, as well as taking something away, he also gives us something, his righteousness. See, the difference between Christianity and all other religions is the letters N-E. All other religions are about do, do, do. Trust in what you do to hopefully earn salvation. Whereas Christianity is about done. It's all about what Jesus has done for us. Maybe you're here today and you're not yet a Christian. You haven't yet started to get to know Jesus yet, and it's wonderful to have you with us this morning. You're very welcome. Maybe, like Paul, you've been trying to earn salvation, do, 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 trying to earn favour with God. Well, perhaps today's the day for God to give you a second address, for you to trust Jesus for the first time, for you to forget the past, forget trying to earn with God, and instead to be clothed in Jesus' righteousness for the first time. Maybe, for some of us today, there's some sin holding us back. Perhaps you're thinking, well, God could never really forgive me for this or for that. Well, do you remember what Paul said about himself? He said he persecuted the church. In the book of Acts, he approves of the killing of a Christian leader called Stephen. And yet Paul was still able to talk about forgetting what was behind. Yes, what he'd done wasn't right, but now he knew he was forgiven. And he was now clothed in Christ's righteousness. John Piper, who's written a lot of Christian books, says this: for every look at yourself, take 10 looks at Christ. When we feel the guilt of our past sins, take 10 looks at Christ and his righteousness, because there's nothing he can't forgive, and there's nothing that his righteousness can't cover. Let's trust him, forget the past, and press on in knowing Jesus. Secondly, pressing on in knowing Jesus involves suffering in the present. Have a look at verse 10. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. A great way to get to know someone better is to put yourself into their shoes. I wonder if you ever saw this photo. It's from a while back. It's Prince William selling the Big Issue. I'm sure that when he now meets Big Issue vendors, that experience helps him to know them a little bit better, having experienced something of what they experience out on the streets, all the different responses, you know, as people walk past. But it's not just that Jesus comes into the world and puts himself into our shoes and experiences our suffering. And so he knows us in that sense. I mean, that's wonderfully true. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. But here Paul is saying, it also works the other way around. When we suffer for being a Christian, we're putting ourselves into Jesus's shoes. We're sharing or participating in something of what he experienced, something of what he suffered, which means we actually get to know him better. So, for example, when you see evil in the world, perhaps bullying at school, or the abuse of power in politics, or unjust wars in the world, when we see evil and it hurts us and it causes us pain, that actually helps us to know Jesus better, to know something of the pain he feels towards evil. Or if we're ever mocked and called names for living and speaking for Jesus at school or at work or in our family, that ordeal actually helps us to know Jesus better as we experience what it was like for him in some small way. Do you remember Jesus was that prophet without honour in his own town and his own home? We thought about that recently in the book of Matthew together, didn't we? And then there's brothers and sisters all over the world. Here's the Open Doors app up on the screen. There's the Barnabas organisation as well, where we can find out about precious brothers and sisters every day who suffer for their faith. And amongst them, there's those who really do become like Jesus in his death. And so they know Jesus deeply in that way. Well, there's a wonderful encouragement for us, isn't there, in verse 10. Look at it again. I want to know Christ, verse 10. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings. The encouragement is that we have the same power that raised Jesus from the dead helping us to press on even through times of suffering, helping us to live out that new identity in Christ that we thought about last week. And it's a power that in the end guarantees glory after suffering, just as it did in the cross and resurrection of Jesus. And we've got that same power getting us through. Remember that verse from Colossians last week? When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. That is where Jesus' resurrection power is taking us. Glory. And so knowing Jesus, it involves forgetting the past, suffering in the present, and finally, it involves straining towards the future. Have a look at verse 13. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. I love these kinds of images of athletes straining forwards to the finish line. It's very clear they're going somewhere, isn't it? Everything about them is orientated towards where they're going. They're pressing on, moving forward, straining, persevering. Well, this is how Paul describes the way he is moving towards the future. He's straining, he's making every effort to press on. Paul talks about the resurrection of the dead in verse 11. He can't wait for Jesus to come back and to give him a body like Jesus' body. And so to know Jesus in that new and better way, person to person, body to body. Verses 20 to 21 of Philippians chapter 3 puts it like this: our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Paul can't wait for that bodily resurrection, so he strains forwards towards that day. And so I wonder how future orientated we are. Are we straining towards the future? Are we pressing on like that athlete? Well, here's three thoughts about how we can press on together, strain forwards. First of all, you know, let's talk about the future more. Paul talks about the future, doesn't he, in Philippians chapter 3 and elsewhere in Philippians. Let's talk about the future. Often over the years, when it's been somebody's birthday, Paul, our vicar, has said something like, you know, 1 year closer to glory. And there's me getting really depressed about how old I'm getting. But Paul's thinking about the future and genuinely happy that he's 1 year closer to glory. And I think that's it, isn't it? Talking about it, dropping it into everyday talk, like drip feeding it into our conversation. Let's talk more about the future. It's going to make us look forward to it together more. Secondly, let's sing about the future. Here's those four lines that finish off that classic hymn, Love Divine. This is how that hymn ends. Changed from glory into glory, till in heaven we take our place, till we cast our crowns before thee, lost in wonder, love, and praise. That makes me want to strain towards the future. Our last song today will finish like this: unto the grave, what shall we sing? Christ he lives, Christ he lives, and what reward will heaven bring? Everlasting life with him. There we will rise to meet the Lord. Then sin and death will be destroyed, and we will feast in endless joy when Christ is ours forevermore. That makes me want to press on. straining towards when we'll be with Jesus and know him body to body. Let's talk about the future. Let's sing about the future. Thirdly, let's get ready for the future. Remember in the book of Revelation a couple of weeks ago, we thought about the church as the bride beautifully dressed for her husband. Well, we're clothed in Christ's righteousness, the Russian dolls, brilliant, happy days. We are beautifully dressed. But this is also what our lives are progressively becoming as we work out our salvation, as Paul puts it in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. As we get ready to be with Jesus and to know him forever in the new creation. Well, how does that look in Philippians? Well, a little bit of homework for you to read Colossians, read that as well if you want. Read Philippians and, you know, think about the kinds of behaviours that Paul is encouraging the church to clothe themselves in. But here's here's a few things that I noted as I flicked through. This isn't comprehensive, just a few things to whet our appetite. One of the things Paul says in chapter 1, verse 9 is this. This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. I wonder if we're straining to love others more and more. Verse 11 of chapter 1, Paul says this. Paul talks about being filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. We thought last week about how moving forwards involves putting off the old and clothing ourselves in the new. Do you remember that list of items that we had on the screen last week? Things to kill off, items to clothe ourselves in. I wonder how our progress has gone 1 week on. Maybe there's been some victories. Maybe there's been some setbacks. It's a new week. Let's go again. Let's press on, being filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. Then Philippians 2 verse 5, Paul talks about having the same humble mindset as Christ Jesus in our relationships with other people. Perhaps there's a relationship that you have at the moment at home or at school, maybe at work, or perhaps in the church family. Maybe there's a relationship where that Christ-like humility is being tested at the moment. We need to persevere, don't we? Strain forwards, press on, becoming that bride beautifully dressed. And then one final example from Philippians in chapter 2, verse 14. Paul says, do everything without grumbling or arguing. I find that quite hard. But it's something to press on in, isn't it? And we've got a great future to look forward to, which makes the things that I do grumble about, but it kind of puts them in perspective, doesn't it? Well, we're going to finish with a true story about this person, William Borden of Yale. You can find out about people like William Borden, brothers and sisters in Christ of yesteryear, through the 5 Minutes of Church History podcast, which I commend to you all warmly. William Borden of Yale was born in America in 1887 into a very wealthy and well-connected family. As a young man, his mum became a Christian and she took him to church and he became a Christian too. One of the things about William Borden of Yale is that he also had a brain the size of a planet. And he went on to study at Yale, which is a bit like the American version of Oxford or Cambridge. And he had the whole world at his feet. He could have done whatever he wanted because he had the means to do it, the wealth, phenomenally wealthy family, and he also had the brain. But he decided he wanted to be a missionary to Muslims in China. This is 1887. So, to that end, he went to learn Arabic in Egypt. Had to get on a boat. And these are two things that he wrote in his Bible at that time. He wrote, no reserves. He was all in for Jesus. And he wrote, no retreat. There was no going back. Forgetting the past, straining forwards, he was pressing on for Jesus. But then sadly, even before he arrived at the mission field, whilst in Egypt, he got seriously ill and he died. He never got to be the missionary he was hoping to be. But later, when his Bible was found, he'd added two more words when he knew that he was going to die. He'd written the words, no regrets. No regrets. See, to William Borden's mind, he had lost nothing because his ultimate goal in life wasn't to be wealthy, wasn't career, it wasn't even to be a missionary for Jesus in China. His ultimate goal was to know Jesus. And so death was only a gateway to knowing Jesus more. No regrets. In Philippians, Paul says, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul and William Borden of Yale, the Apostle Paul, William Borden, they knew that in God's good timing, when God decided to take them home, they had something better to look forward to. Knowing Jesus in person, body to body. Well, let's make this our goal in life too. To know Jesus more in this life and to press on when we'll be with him and ultimately, in the end, to know him person to person in the life to come. No reserves, no retreat, no regrets. Amen.